All right, so continuing the sugyas of Rechzemanin. I think the last couple of weeks we finished Hamotzi, we finished Mizonos. Let's move on to the next bracha. So we'll talk a little bit about the bracha of Bar Pri Eitz, and we speak of Bar Pri Eitz, so we have to begin the discussion with Bar Pri Eitz in contrast to Bar Pri Hadoma. So the Mishnah tells us that Al-Peres Ilam of Bar Pri Eitz, Al-Peres Adoma Varech Bar Pri Hadoma. It's not always clear what is a Pri Eitz and what is a Pri Hadoma, because it's not always clear how exactly you define a tree. So for those city boys who don't know too much about trees, and don't think trees and fruits and vegetables, it's very, very simple. But you plant a tree, the tree lasts for a very, very, very long time. You plant a vegetable, it lasts for that season. You have to replant it every year. So that's the simple distinction between the two. That a tree is around also in the winter. The tree doesn't disappear in the winter time. It just takes a little while till the next crop begins, but the tree itself is there. You have to replant it every year, whereas the vegetables have to be replanted every year. That's the pashtus advarim in terms of the difference. So there's a major machlekes here, Rishonim, about many, many kinds of plants that are somewhere in the middle, in the sense of that you do not have to replant them every year like vegetables. On the other hand, the trunk, the basic mahus of a tree that's visible above ground, isn't there. It disappears during the winter. It shrivels up. It disappears in the wintertime. But the roots are still around, and then the roots start a new crop in the next season. So what is that? So it's somewhere in between. So on the one hand, it has the characteristic of a fruit tree, because you don't have to replant it. On the other hand, it has the characteristic of a vegetable, that it disappears in the winter, basically for all practical purposes. So what is it? So that was a big machlekes of Rishonim. So we have a lot of things that fall into that category. So the most famous thing that we have in that category is a banana. That's the machlekes about bananas. So the poskim in Eastern Europe never saw bananas. They had no idea what a banana was. So the Shulchan Aruch saw bananas. So Shulchan Aruch talks about muz. That was the Arabic word for bananas, but nobody in Begin of Rome didn't know what he was talking about. So he's talking about our bananas. So what's the din about bananas? So our din again is that we recited Bar Pri Adoma bananas. In deference to the Rishonim, that's only Bar Pri Adoma. Bar Pri Adoma is always the safer of the two brachas, because with the heaven, the Mishnah says, whenever you recite Bar Pri Adoma on the Yaitzi, even if it's supposed to be Bar Pri Eitz, but it's vice versa, you would not be Yaitzi. So therefore, out of safety precautions, so we recite the Bar Pri Adoma on bananas. Let's say that the Yavid, a person recited Bar Pri Eitz on bananas, it would be hard to say you have to recite the Brach again, because according to many Rishonim, he would in fact be Yaitzi. So that's one potential Shiloh. Then you have other kinds of things that are also not clear whether they halachically meet the criteria of an Eitz or not. So the Taisus quotes one opinion for Ben Menachem, the Balei Taisus, who speaks about the things that grow on low bushes. So they're technically trees, because you don't have to replant them every year. The bush is still around in the wintertime. But it's very, very low to the ground. So maybe that's not considered to be a Bar Pri Eitz. Maybe that's only a Bar Pri Adoma. So most of Yisraelim don't accept that idea. But nevertheless, we have a Psalminig. There's a Minig Yisrael, and a Minig Boy Yisrael, living in our communities, that certain fruits that grow on bushes, so we've been reciting Bar Pri Adoma on them, even though it doesn't really make any sense, but because they're very, very low to the ground, so that's called the Bar Pri Adoma. So the post can qualify that Minig and say, a minig only makes sense if it's very, very low to the ground. It's level to the ground. But if it's more than 3 tefach off the ground, that's already too high. Again, that halacha mashtini of lavud is not exactly appropriate application over here. Lavud is for mechitzas, for sukkah, things like that. But apple b'chein, asama, that became the minig. And the person can say, well, if you have a fruit, then you don't even know whether it's, I have no idea where it grows, if it grows on a low bush or not. So misafik, you could assume that it's a Bar Pri Eitz, because the whole thing is really shalik yadin. The real ikra din is that all the bushes are really Bar Pri Eitz. But the yes, it's a low, if you know for certain that it's a very, very low bush, then you would start a Bar Pri Adoma on it. So this is some of the controversy about apparently about the blueberries and the cranberries and the certain things that apparently some kinds of certain berries that used to grow in Europe used to grow on the lower bushes. Now in America they grow on taller bushes. So you got to check with Rocha's book. So I think that we usually assume that those things, those berries are Bar Pri Eitz. So unless you know with absolute certainty that something's growing on a very, very low bush, so we can assume that misafik, the correct Bracha is going to be Bar Pri Eitz. You have other kinds of plants that there doesn't seem to be any real reason why they're not considered to be Bar Pri Eitz. They have all the characteristics of trees. The only thing is that they behave in a way that most trees don't behave. Namely, when you plant a tree, so it very rarely grows fruit right away. It usually takes a while till the fruit starts to grow. So these particular trees, these plants you plant, they produce crops very, very quickly. So the question is that characteristic of producing a crop immediately, is that a factor? Does that make any difference? So many postmen say, well, it's not doing anything. When it's a tree, so it's a bark, right? And others said, no, then maybe that kufa shows that it doesn't really have the full characteristics of a tree. So anyone know which fruit fall into those categories? I think the papayas are like that. Anyone check? Google the papaya. You can see how long it takes for papaya to grow. If I'm not mistaken, I think papaya is with the food in this category. What does it say? Is that the papaya tree? What does it say? How long does it take to grow?
Now it's 11 months.
It produces fruit with 11 months. Oh, within the year. Okay? So can you check one other thing? Check eggplants. Oh, there you go. Okay, so I think those are the two shilas. So apparently there was a big tumble in the earlier poskim. I'm seeing the Rav Vaz as a discussion about orla on eggplants. So it's the same kind of a shila, because these things grow in what appears to be trees. There's all the characteristics of trees, but it has that modern characteristic that it produces fruit right away. So that's a shila also, what the correct bracha on those things are. So again, I don't know. So it's a philosophical machlokes in the poskim, what the correct bracha on these kinds of things would be. Even if you have something that's a tree, just because it grows on a tree doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a bar peretz. It has to be the pre-haetz. If you have other growths on the tree that are not the peretz per se, then the bracha is going to be adama, so it must be studying the leaves and other things. It would not necessarily be a bar peretz. So there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim about what's the status of seeds. Would you recite a bar peretz on the seeds? Let's say we just eat seeds of a fruit. You wouldn't eat the fruit itself. Would you recite a bar peretz on that? What's the shaila? So the Mishnah says the Maseches Orla that there's Orla on seeds. The Garina Haperis are subject to the rules of Orla. So why is that so, and how does that impact it on his brachas? So there's a big machlekes in Rishonim. Why is that even true? Why is it that there's Orla on the Garina Haperis? So some Rishonim write because the Garina Mamam Shapri. It's a regular pri. It's part of the Gufa pri. That's what Tosfos writes. And if that's the case, and it's part of the Gufa pri, so therefore the brach would be a Barib pri, right? So the full. With full confidence, you can recite a bar braids. There's oil, then bar braids would be the brahma. And the other Rishonim say, no, the Rishonim say the reason why there's orla on garinim is not because it's a priya aids, but because the Gemara says that there's a drasha by orla, aralta malasa es pirio, es ha tofil lipirio. Even those parts of the fruit that are not the fruit proper, that are tofil to the fruit, that are secondary to the fruit, the halachas of orla are subject to. So that's what some Rishonim write, that since the whole requirement, the whole din of orla, on seeds, is only exerts a kosher because orla. It's just esa tofel lepirio, but it's not that it's mamish the fruit proper. Since it just exerts a kosher on s, so that exerts a kosher doesn't mean that it's considered to be like the fruit. That means there's a din that orla is applied to, but it's not really considered to be fruit. So some rishonim write nafkamina would be that you wouldn't recite a bracha by brains on that because it's not a fruit. Another rishonim say no. Another rishonim say that yes, it's exerts a kosher of orla, but the exerts a kosher of orla is that this is considered to be like a fruit. Means that. But without the exerts of kosher, I wouldn't have said it. I wouldn't have said it misvara. But once the pasuk tells me that it's chayv and orla, it's a raya, that it's a part of the fruit itself. So there's a lot of lumdas flying around, the nuchas orla, the nuchas brachas, but the bottom line should be unseen. It's a big, big, some of an unresolved machlokes in Rishonim, what the bracha would be. Lamaisa, how relevant is it for us? I don't know. We sit down around and eat the seeds. We're supposed to sit around and eat. So you gotta find it. You sit around and eat apple seeds, drawing apple seeds. You sit around and eat apple seeds. What? Pomegranate seeds, yeah. So when was the last time you sat down and ate pomegranate seeds on Rosh Hashanah? So when are you making a bar parades on something else? Most people don't sit around and eat pomegranate seeds. So I don't know. If you want to eat pomegranate seeds, but if not, then there would be a shiloh. When you make a bar parades, you make a bar parade on it. Even if we identify something as being. Barbarates of being a barbary adama. So even those eyes who identify the item properly, it is possible that the bracha barbarates, the bracha barbarates may still not be recited. If a person eats that particular food in a different manner than is normally eaten, so then the bracha is also going to go down. The bracha is going to go down potentially all the way down to shahakul. What does that mean? Well, how would you eat something in an abnormal fashion? What exactly does that mean? So here the Gemara, the whole sugya, the sixth parak of the Brachos, about fruits and vegetables. Some fruits and vegetables are darkam lechol chayim, zerach to eat them raw, and you chose to eat them cooked. And there are other fruits and vegetables that zerach to eat them cooked, and you ate them raw. So the Gemara says that whichever way is the norm, if you eat it in the normal way, then the bracha remains the same. If you eat it in the abnormal way, then the bracha goes down. So what are some examples of this for us? I don't know, let's say there are some fruits and vegetables that are eaten both ways. Let's say, for example, an apple. So I just ate an apple before. So eat an apple. It's a normal to eat an apple. It breaks. Eat apple sauce. Apple sauce, putting aside the fact that it's crushed up. We'll leave apples with baked apple. So, you go to a wedding, they serve it for dessert, a baked apple. Not that you should be at any weddings now, you shouldn't be eating anything at any weddings anyway, but limited to learn in the good old days when you went to a wedding, you actually ate. So then you have a baked apple. So if you make butter plates and a baked apple, because that's normal. So whatever's normal to eat, that's okay. What if you have a kind of a fruit that nobody would ever cook? Sugar, who cooks these kind of fruits? I don't know, give me a good example. It's good fruit. No one ever cooks.
Pears.
Yeah, cook pears.
Orange.
Cook oranges, the abundant, no? Right? So if you decided to take an orange and throw it into a pot of water and cook it, boil it up, the brach would go down for shahakol. Well, let's say you have the other way around. Let's say you have something that's dark of the kach to eat raw, not dark of the kach to eat it. The other way around. Something that's dark of the kach to eat cooked, not dark of the kach to eat it raw. So let's say a vegetable. A lot of vegetables like that. Say potatoes. So if you eat a potato, you eat a cooked potato, you make a burrito. I eat a raw potato, you make shakal. The other vegetables that are darker, you eat both. Let's say carrots. So it's normal to eat raw carrots, normal to eat zimis, to eat cooked carrots. So you have to look at every single vegetable and every single food and ask yourself, am I eating it in the normal way as well? There is a further machlokes haposkim about, let's say you have a vegetable that's not dark of a kach to eat raw by itself, but it is dark of a kach to eat it raw in a salad or something. It's dark of a kach to eat it together with other foods. So that's a further shaila. If I eat it raw, what would the din be? So the classic example of this would be onions. What's the correct brach on onions? So onions, most people don't sit around and munch on raw onions. On the other hand, it is normal to put onions into a salad. So Litzah had a tremendous yitzhar to eat a raw onion. What bracha would I make? Would I make a hadam? Would I make a shachol? So that was a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch Harav and other poskim. So Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Balatanya, his opinion was that since it's dark of a kach to eat raw, sometimes, at least in a salad, so that's called dark of a kach. And therefore, that would warrant the burp adam, even if you eat it by itself. And the Mishnah Berurah, of course, the other poskim would disagree with the Balatanya. He said, no, if you eat raw onions, then the correct bracha would be shahakol. Manav kamina, so when does this spill over? It carries on with the karpas. So when it comes to the Lel HaSeder, so we're supposed to, the Mishnah describes, supposed to be, the first tibul is supposed to be, a yarek, supposed to be a vegetable. And the vegetable is supposed to be a bar pri adama. You're not supposed to have a vegetable that's some other bracha, supposed to be the bracha bar pri adama. According to some Rishonim, the bar pri adama on the karpas, patas the moron. It's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Why don't you recite bar pri adama more? It must have been feirish in Arvei Pesachim. And then when you get to the maror, so the Gemara says, you make a mitzvah matzah, you eat a piece of matzah, and then you make a shekin yishar mitzvah tzitzvanu al chidus maror. And the Gemara doesn't say anything about making a bar pri adama in the maror. So what do Yishar say? We don't make a bar pri adama in the maror. The question is, why not? Why don't we make a bar pri adama in the maror? So some Yishar say, because it's in the middle of the meal, that's why you don't make a bar pri adama. Other Yishar say, that's not a good reason, because it's not ba machmas asud, it's like dessert. We'll have to talk about that later on, about the bracha on desserts. It's like it's something which is lo ba machmas asud, it's lo ba machmas asud, you should make a bracha on it. So why is there no bracha on maror? So pilei plan, why is there no bracha on maror? So different reasons are given. So one of the Bishanim says, the reason why there's no bracha on maror is because the bar pri adama of karpas patas the maror. And that's the source for the minhag of the Ashkenazi community is not to eat the kezayis of karpas. We daven, the only thing that Allah says that we go out of our way not to eat a lot of everything else we eat, and the more the merrier. The karpas, we try dafka not to eat a kezayis. Because if you eat a kezayis, then you'll be required to make a burn of fushes. If you have to make a burn of fushes, that's going to break up the continuity for the maror for an hour later. So that's why our minhag is. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says you're not supposed to eat a kezayis for karpas also. But our Ashkenazi customers, we daven, don't eat a kezayis for karpas. So when you make the bar pri adama on the karpas, you should have in mind for the maror. So it's important to make a bar pri adama on karpas. So whatever vegetable you're going to pick for karpas, it has to be bar pri adama. What halachas govern the vegetable for karpas? Very little. Gemara doesn't say anything. Gemara doesn't say which vegetables you have to have. Some people like to use green vegetables. It reminds them of the springtime. It's nice. Oh, green. It's a nice. Some have such a tzah minig. But it's not equal. But whatever's a bar pri adama is good enough. In Europe, they used to use potatoes for karpas for one simple reason, because nothing else grew in Europe. Have you ever noticed that Eastern European dishes, well, the Ashkenazim, basically everything is potatoes and carrots and beets. borscht, because those are the only things that grew in Europe. Because in Europe, the whole planting season was only about 2 weeks, because it was so cold the rest of the year. So potatoes grow very quickly. I won't ask you to see how long it takes for potatoes to grow. It's fairly quickly. Potatoes grow quickly, carrots grow quickly, beef grow quickly. So that's why everything in Ashkenazi communities was potato kugel, and there was cholent, and there was more potato kugel, and more cholent. And when it came Chanukah, you had potato latkes. And the only vegetable also they had was carrots. How long did it take potato to grow?
You got 120 days.
Yeah, 120 days. Okay, so that's 4 months. You get an even a good Polish winter, a good Polish spring. You can get in a potato. Okay, good. So, and they had beets, a lot of beets in Eastern Europe. So they made a lot of borscht. Fine. So in Europe they used to make a barbecue. They used to use potatoes for kaffir because they didn't have anything else. Nothing green grew in Poland. And when I was a little boy, so we used to use potatoes. We used potatoes for kaffir because my grandmother came from Europe, so everyone used potatoes. Then as we got more modern in America, we realized there are other vegetables out there also. So now we stopped using potatoes. Show you the minute. So in my house, we usually use cucumbers because they're green and they're barfri adam. So one of my kids doesn't like cucumbers too much when he was a little boy. So he told me he's not eating cucumbers. He refused to eat cucumbers at the Seder. So I told him he could eat a banana instead because the place can write that's a barfri adam. We pass him a barfri adam and bananas. So we pass him himself gets a vegetable. So you can make you could use for carpus. So that's what he does. So he uses arayim and now he's already almost 20 years old and he still uses the banana for karpa zeichet when he was 3 years old. But he was little, so he also had a fascinating shot. This he doesn't do anymore. When he was little, he didn't want to eat matzah plain by the Seder. He only wanted to eat matzah with cream cheese. He liked matzah with cream cheese. So Tosfos quotes 2 days in Tevachim about if you eat matzah together with the Dovah Shel Rishus, does the Dovah Shel Rishus cancel the Dovah Shel Mitzvah? From the Sugif Kerich. So Tosfos quotes 1 day that only applies to a Dovah Chorif like Mara, it doesn't apply to bland other foods. And Tosfos quotes another day that it does, but if Tosfos says that if you eat enough, eat more than a kazayas, so let's say eat 3 kazayas of matzah and 1 kazayas of cream cheese, so the 1 kazayas of cream cheese negates the 1 kazayas of matzah, so now you still left 2 kazayas, you still eat yotzeh. So as long as you double up on your matzah, connect the amount of cream cheese, so that's what's 1 day, that would be okay. So my son, for a couple of years, used to eat matzah and cream cheese by the Seder, and I used to tell him, you have to eat a little bit of extra matzah and pick up all the little pieces of cream cheese in between. We yotzeh that day and Tosfos Maseches Brachim. We didn't let him sit at the regular table for matzah, we made him do because the table was leishis. So we gave him a little table on his own, like across the shulchan, like the Mishnah Sochem, that's what he's doing, Avram Sochem. So that Baruch Hashem, he's grown out of him. The banana he still does, but the matzah cream cheese, he's long outgrown, Baruch Hashem. Okay, anyway, so back to the story. So we're looking for a vegetable when we make barfri adama, a karpas, we want to make sure we got a barfri adama in there. Because we don't want to end up running into a suffering brachas in terms of the mar. I remember 1 year at the Seder, I don't know why, I totally missed the boat. I wasn't looking inside the Haggadah. And I came to make the bracha on the mar. My mistake, I made a barfri adama first. And then I caught myself afterwards. I said, well, what? What did I just do? And the Seder said, oh my goodness, what do I do? So I was thinking, what should I do now? Should I say Baruch Shem? What should I do exactly? So I just moved on. I just said the bracha alechi was mar because it's not so posh it was a bracha levatol. There are a lot of svaras where we don't make a barfri adama tomorrow, but I wasn't like 100% sure it was such an absolute bracha levatol. So I remember I gave a whole shiur about it afterwards, but I said, what's the Musa Haskel? If you follow what it says, the Haskel will go. Don't be such a chacham. Just follow what it says. That's what's called the Seder, because you follow the Seder. Anyway, back to the story. So we're looking for a barfri adama. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav said, you can use an onion, because an onion is a barfri adama. So the Mishnah Berurah never sanctioned such a thing. Mishnah Berurah's bracha says that you can't. That's why the Lubavitchers today, they use onions. Anyone Lubavitcher background there? So they use onions, the scallions, but I think they use for a carpus. So I remember once I was saying in Shia the Silver.
Wouldn't Mishnah
Berurah really
cook the onion?
In theory, the question is, cook onions? Does anyone eat cooked onions even today? People just don't really sit down and eat cooked onions. People eat onion rings or some other things. Well, that's a question. You don't make a boyfriend, don't cook them, I'm not sure. So I remember once I was sitting over the shiur, and there was a boy in the back raised his hand and said, our family, we eat onions for karpas. So he asked him, are you guys Lubavitch? So we said, we're not Lubavitch, but now that you mentioned it, our family, I think, was made from by some Chabad somewhere. So I said, so they, by your first Seder you ever went to, they served onions. So he thought, so Lachem Hashem said, you have to use onions. So I said, the Mishnah Berurah does all that way, but Shulchan Aruch Rav held that way. Okay, good. So back to that story. So the basic rule is that whatever's eaten normally gets the right bracha, whatever's eaten abnormally gets the bracha or dips down a little bit. Question is there anything else that can happen that can affect the bracha? So I have a fruit, I have a vegetable, and I'm all ready to say either the correct barfri eitz, the correct barfri adama. Anything can happen that could potentially mess up this bracha, it can knock the bracha down a notch. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about taking a fruit and pulverizing quince, crushing it up. And the Gemara makes a statement that the bracha remains the same. Just because you chopped it up into little pieces, that doesn't alter the bracha treatment. Right? I'll sing you about the treatment and six pack of brachas. So the question is, what exactly happened? What did you do and what didn't you do? So Rashi on the spot has a funny line. Rashi writes that the dish that the Gemara is describing is that you took a fruit and you chopped it up into little pieces, but not legamri. Rashi says, you weren't merasket legamri. You didn't mamish destroy it. You didn't legamri pulverize it. So the mashmos of Rashi is that the only reason why it remains, retains the original bracha is because you didn't completely destroy it. Vice versa, if you would have completely destroyed it, you would have mamish pulled it, mamish down to the pole. So then the bracha that would go down, and it would lose its bracha. It's a shinan. It's like Kilpas Gazela. You steal a piece of wood, you turn it to a table, so shinan kind of. So if you made such as a shinan gomer on the item, it's totally completely crushed up. So Rashi sounds like the bracha would actually go down. So the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam describes the person takes a date and he makes the date into like a dough. He chops it up, crushes it, pulverizes it until it's almost like in a doughy form. So the chlam no shechet to day anymore. So the Rambam writes that the bracha still remains the same. So how do we pass him halacha on this? So the interesting Rambam writes that the ikar adin, the Rambam is probably right. You know, nothing can really happen to destroy the bracha. You know, the Gemara doesn't make this chiluk. Rashi stuck into the Gemara. This chiluk, whether it's merusak legami or not. So the Gemara doesn't say that. So the Rambam writes the ikra din is really like the Rambam. But since shahakol is always the better of the two brachas, because if you make shahakol, you always yaitz. Yaitz is a little bit trickier. So then the minhag became to follow Rashi. So even though we don't really think he's right, the Rambam writes, and the evidence made up of Rashi would be yaitz, but he thinks that the more correct thing to do is follow the minhag. You should make a shahakol if it's merusak legami. That the Rambam writes. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the later poskim who qualify this Rambam a little bit and develop the following. They say that, do we follow this? What's called merusak legamri? So the poskim use a lingo called the nika turis apri. That's the phrase that the poskim throw around. But if the turis apri is still around, if the pri eitz, the pri adama, if the turis apri is basically the basic form of the fruit or the vegetable still intact, so then we follow the shittas of Rambam and we make the original bracha eitz adama. If you've lost turis apri already, so then tachli and sent follow Rashi, and then the bracha goes down, jumps down, slips down to a shahakol. So that's very, very tricky. It's a very, very gray area in halacha. What exactly do we mean by that? How do you define exactly what's called Turis HaPri, what's not called Turis HaPri? So there seemed to be a machlekes in the Gedalia HaPoskim in the last generation, Shem Zalman and Yashiv, about how exactly you define that principle. That term, Nika Turis HaPri, is a later term in Poskim. The Rishonim don't really use it. That's a later phrase. So at what point do we say that it's dipped beneath the point of the Pri, and now we fall back on Rashi Shita? When do we say, no, that's not called could destroy it completely? So some folks can say that if I'm not mistaken, I think Shmuel Zalman said that it depends on whether the fruit has been liquefied or not. If you put it into a blender, if you take a fruit and your mama should put it into a blender, the fruit process turns into a liquid. So that's already always to separate. That's already gone. That's no longer to separate. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rabbi Yashiv, I think it's this way. Checking in the Brahma's books. Rabbi Yashiv said no. He said that the characteristic of Nikar Tzur Sapri doesn't depend on what you did to it. It depends on what it looks like. You show it to somebody and say, can you recognize this as a fruit? So if it's recognizable as a fruit, so it's still recognizable fruit, then the bracha remains the same. If it's always recognizable as a fruit, so then the bracha goes down. So it's a nuance of a difference, but it can make all the difference in the world. It could impact on potato kugels, it could impact a lot of things, a lot of different kinds of fruits and vegetables that may have undergone processes. On the other hand, everyone knows what they are, or vice versa. So we'll try to fine-tune this a little bit in the next year, just practically speaking, how this plays out for some of the fruits and vegetables that we have. What exactly do you think we're supposed to be? Then you have a whole other thing that man is about reconstituting things. You have certain things that lost Turis HaPri that have gotten the Turis HaMeis, and you have Turis HaPri back again. So you add a little water in the reed, you turn it back, and it looks like a fruit vegetable again. So we have to talk about a lot of these things. So next week, we'll try to fine tune some of these things, and then move on to other things that could possibly negate the bracha, turning things into soups, into juices, etc., things of that nature, how that impacts.